Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Sprocket Podcast.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the second episode of the Humanity on Wheels, a Night of Transit Tales recap. For this one, I have picked my favorite stories from the open mic segment, and we'll start out with Doug Kent Crispin of ORHistory.com, who graciously provided this event for us, and his stories come first of riding the dreaded Line 13.
I'm going to just do a quick little open mic. I'm going to tell you two quick stories, anecdotes, really, from the 1980s. Because I'm a historian, so I don't really give a fuck about the modern era. I don't care about the TriMet budget fucking crunch. I'll give a shit in 20 years, but right now, I don't give a fuck. So my stories are from the mid-80s. The first, in high school, we would dread waiting for the bus at night because of the fabled number 13 that would show up on the bus stop. The driver would pull open the door and say, "Come on in, kids. No fare tonight. It's all free." That was the number 13. The second was the TriMet fare inspectors that drive around. We called them the Bustapo, much like the Gestapo. And our line was they would come on onto the bus and say, "Let me see your papers. There is your transfer. Has it expired?" That was the Bustapo. So those are my two 1980s open mic sessions. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our next open mic story comes from Jonathan, who saw something that wasn't quite what he thought it was on the bus.
Okay, so this is a story from when I used to work at out at Mount Hood Community College in Gresham. It's a pretty far ride on the 20 from where I was living at the time on Holgate and 20th. Out to Mount Hood Community College, and the 20 doesn't go down to Holgate. I had a transfer. But most of the ride was there, and so I had just gotten on it, and like a stop or two down the line, a lady got on, sat down right in front of me, a young lady, and another guy like came and was like, "Oh, is it okay if I sit here?" And she was like, "Yeah, okay." And he sat down next to her. There's a little bit of a pause, and then he was like, "Hey, what's your name?" And I was like, "Oh, God, no. This is going to be really awkward because I'm going to be sitting here listening to him hit on her for a while, and that's just not how I wanted to spend this commute." And she was like, "Oh, why do you want to know?" And he was like, "Well, you know, because you're cute." And it went on and on and on, and she was really, she looked a little uncomfortable at first and then mostly just really embarrassed. But she was like, okay, and she was telling him her name, and she was kind of like trying. And I was sitting there the whole time thinking, at what point do I intervene? At what point do I intervene? Because I don't want to be, you know, a big, like, holier-than-thou, like, "Hey, don't hit on this woman on the bus, man in front of me." But, you know, there's decorum. There's reasons not to hit on people on the bus. And it got, like, really weirdly, like, explicit. And there were times when he was just like, "Well, you know, how do you like it?" and things like that. And I was like, I know, it was fucked up. Like, the whole thing was fucked up, and I was a little bit like, okay, fight or flight. Like, am I going to, like, stand up like, "You do not talk to this woman this way"? But no one else on the bus was intervening either, so I was like, okay, is that what's that psychological thing where when there's a group of people, they all don't help out because they think, "Well, someone else will do it." And that was me. And it went on for, like, 20 fucking minutes, and it was really, really uncomfortable until finally she just... There's a pause, and then she just, like, looked him right in the eye, and she said, "Sweetie, you're a real asshole," and kissed him and sat on his lap. And I realized that I had actually been the unwitting audience for a scene that a couple had been doing, where they decided, I guess, to, like, fuck with everyone on the bus. And I felt a little violated, but... I also, you know, kind of admired them because they really went for it. And that was probably one of the most memorable commutes on the 20 that I did. And that's my story.
Every now and again on TriMet, you'll bump into interesting people. Some of those people are street musicians. And this fellow named Arnie had a fantastic story about bumping into one of those.
My name is Arnie. I'm from Detroit. Anybody in here from Detroit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, all right. So I've been riding streetcars, and I'm 70 years old. Been riding streetcars and buses a long, long time from Detroit, and I moved out here to see what the the American dream looks like. Anyway, so I'm on the number 44 because I live in Southwest, and I'm on the bus for about 20 minutes. I'm downtown, and I get on, and right across the aisle is a young kid that looks like he's going for a drum lesson. Now, you got him pictured. He's got his earphone thing going on, and he's doing this drum kit thing, right? So after I look at this for about 5 minutes, and of course he's listening to his music and he's doing his drum kit, I say, no bass line, man, no bass line. And he can't hear me, so he takes out the ear and I said, give me a fucking bass drum, man. How can you be a drummer without a bass drum? Okay, kaboom, 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 kaboom. I said, where's the cymbal? He can't hear me. I said, the cymbal. The cymbal. Takes off his ear thing, huh? I said, how can you be a drummer without a cymbal? He said, oh, okay. So, boom, 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 boom. Oh, that's pretty cool, okay. I stopped him again. I said, what about the hi-hat? You know, the one that claps like that. So all of a sudden, he's doing the hi-hat, he's doing the cymbal, he's doing the bass drum, things are looking pretty cool. The woman next to me says, where's the cowbell? He doesn't know what she said. He takes out the thing. Huh? Cowbell. There's not a drummer in the world that doesn't use a cowbell. Okay. So, boom, cowbell. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. Anyway, we got six people going on him. We came up with triangle, bells, hi-hat, cymbal, bass drum, snares, tom-tom, everything in the kit but the kitchen sink. When he got off the bus, he waved at us and went off to BSU to learn to be a drummer. PSU, excuse me. Doing this down the street. Thank you very much.
This next story is from a guy named Joe. He has a job as a transit tour guide, basically, and boy, would I kill to have that job. He just loves sharing the love of transit.
Hey, my name is Joe. I'm the guy who talks about dead whores with Doug. Yeah. So it is my privilege, it is my duty, and it is my primary source of income to work for Portland Walking Tours. I give tours of Portland, downtown and Old Town, to people who are visiting the city, and I explain Portland to them. Something that I want to say about TriMet is that people from fucking, like, Topeka or Boise or Houston, they're amazed it even exists. People are walking around a bus mall, and they're looking at buses, and they are amazed that there is a bus, and people are getting on it, coming out of it, and using it as their primary form of transportation. They're amazed at the very, very being of light rail. This is astounding to them. And so what I want to really drive home is that we live in utopia. It's great. We have, like, Macs and stuff. But when people encounter this wonderful, strange thing that is called TriMet, they will always ask me how to use it. And they ask me, how do you buy a ticket? And I said, you got it on the bus, and you give them the money, and then they give you a ticket. Or there's a ticket kiosk for the Max. It's right there. It accepts your money. It dispenses tickets. It's a very simple system. They ask, how do I know which Max line is coming? And I say, they have colors on them. The yellow ones have a little yellow light, and the green ones have a little green light. And I go, oh, because I'm from Topeka. And I've never seen this before. And they're amazed. They think it's great. And then they ask me, which Max goes to Voodoo Donut? And I say, just fucking walk. It's over there. And they're like, which? And they're like, which Max goes to Powell's? I'm like, you can just walk. It's right over there. And then they're like, and then they're like, which bus goes up to the Rose Garden? And I'm like, it's the number 68. It'll take you right there. It drops you up in the front. But yeah, they think it's just the best, most amazing thing ever, and they are wandering around like a small child on psychoactive mushrooms. Their eyes are huge. They're like dinner plates. This is this wonderful thing, and it's like they're experiencing transportation bliss. And I love it. I love it. Every single day, when I walk around and I take tourists around Portland and they ask me, how the fuck do I use your wonderful and efficient public transportation system, it prevents me from being cynical. It really does. As many weird, drunk, stinky, smelly, weirdo meth head juggalos who might talk to me on a bus or on a Max or something, I always remember, isn't it beautiful that we have something that caters to the meth head juggalos? Isn't it beautiful that I, a fucking North Portland hipster, can sit right next to a juggalo and we can share something? We can share this feeling of public transportation? Isn't that a great kind of we are the world feeling of togetherness? It is! It totally is! And so every single day when I give tourist advice about how the fuck to buy a Max ticket, I remember we have something beautiful. And as many weird, pukey, stinky, drunk people might shove it in my face, I still love it. Thank you.
Every now and again, public transit gives you the opportunity to cross cultural boundaries. And this lady didn't give us her name, but she did give us a fantastic story about an experience with that.
Okay, so I'm thinking about the gentleman that presented before the lady that just presented. And he reminded me of why I love TriMet. And it's because of the wonderful people that you meet on TriMet. And my story is kind of sappy and kind of egotistical. But hey, this is my perspective on things. So, okay. So there I am, just sitting there minding my own business. And this lady comes up and she asks me, totally out of the blue, ¿Hablas español? And I'm like, ¿sí? ¿Hola? I mean, and I actually do speak Spanish. So it was like a really weird welcome, kind of like, oh my God, do I look like a Spanish speaker? Not that that's a bad thing, but I was really happy for it. I was like, awesome. Someone was like, hey, do you speak Spanish? And I was like, yeah, I speak Spanish. And so then we started talking and she had some questions. She was like, so where does this Max train go? I just moved to the area. And I was like, oh yeah, blah, 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 telling her all about it and like Beaverton and the West Side, because that's where I live. Beaverton, West Side, yeah. Who lives on the West Side? Shit. Okay, so, hey, I'm here, right? Okay, yeah, it was a really good, positive experience, and she was telling me about how she moved here from South America and how she had to learn Spanish when she first came here because her first language was, or her native tongue is a native language of South America, and I was just like, oh my God, this is so interesting, and I love talking to you, and I was so, yeah, okay. So I just love TriMet for the people that you meet on TriMet and the weird connections that you get and how that's so awesome and random and awesome. Okay, and then I had something else I wanted to say, but I'm totally blanking on what it was right now, so I might come back. So I'm going to pass along the mic. Yay for the awesome people you meet and the West Side. Okay.
So have you ever been riding the bus or light rail and someone's doing something incredibly obnoxious and you just wish somebody could step up to the plate and do something about it? Well, here's a story about a guy who did just that.
Hi. My name's Carl and I have a confession to make. I am a zoo bomber. So I'm one of those people who abuse our transit system to use it as a chairlift, which is to say that I get on the Max with my little kid's bike and I go up to the zoo and I bomb down the hill, and it's a lot of fun. And the best part about it is that the Max operators are really, really friendly to us. Sometimes they'll get on the PA and they'll say, hey, have a nice run when we get off. And one time even, there was a Transylvanian Orchestra concert that had just gotten out. And so the Max was packed with people coming back from that concert. And the Max operator was good enough to introduce us to them and say, you know, concert goers. These are the zoo bombers. They're going up the hill to go bomb. And this is what they do. And just say hi to them. Zoo bombers, please make space for them. It was really great. So I really love Max operators. But this story is actually about a time when the Max operator had no idea what was going on. I was on this train, in Old Town. This guy got on and walked directly up to someone's service animal, it was a dog, and started barking at it. And then, took a break, and he was like, "Hey, could I talk to your dog?" And the person was like, "If you want to." And he continued barking at the dog as we went over the steel bridge and continued east. And then he started harassing other passengers, as we're going across the steel bridge, and he was getting really nasty. And all the time, there's this, IT dude. That's what I assume he is. He's, wearing all black, this big guy, wearing a utility kilt. And he's sitting there with, three slices of pizza on a paper plate, and he's just sitting there, and he's just kind of watching what's going on. And he's really getting tired, pretty clearly, of what's going on. And when we pull up to the Rose Quarter, he realizes that this is getting bad. And I only say this in retrospect because this jumped out of me out of nowhere. I didn't expect this coming. I also volunteer for the Portland International Film Festival. And there's this weird phenomenon there where, unlike other movies that you see, at the end of a PIFF movie, people clap for it like it's a live performance. Like, oh my God, oh, good job, Ecuador. So what happened here was this guy was being so obnoxious, he was done barking at the dog. He was now, abusing this woman, just kind of, screaming at her. And the doors opened for the Rose Garden, and he went to step off, and the doors went to close, and he blocked them, and they stayed open. And then they started to close again, and boom, IT dude steps up, walks up to him as he's turned his back to the doors, and right as the doors are about to close, he just shoves him out the door. He falls down flat out on the pavement, and the doors close, and the whole group just erupts into applause. And it wasn't for some filmmaker 2 years ago in Ecuador who made this movie. It was a movie that was right there. It was live. And people loved it. And then he sat down, and he ate his pizza. And I really love that guy for that moment.
Here's a story from a guy named Ian, who was the featured only on the bus story on Portland Afoot a couple months ago. He tells a story about a race between a bus and a bike.
That's my boss over there. He's a nice guy. He taught me everything I know about transit. Actually, my name is Ian, and I want to tell you a little story. And actually, the number 13 over here is going to help me out, but hold on a second. So Carl kind of beat me to it. I wanted to... It's sort of obligatory to tell a bicycle story about transit, if you know what I mean. It is Portland, right? So where I'm from, which is here, but I'm sort of known as the bike guy a little bit. Everybody knows one, right? You've got one at your workplace, that creepy guy, he rides a bike all the time. He kind of wears bright colors, even to meetings. All right, that used to be me. So but before I got to that point, I'm buying her drinks. So, all right. So, a number of years ago, I used to be a real part-time bike guy, and a part-time bus guy. And I rode the bus a lot. Actually, I rode the bus all the way from Vancouver. Anybody ride the number 5? Remember the number 5? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Interstate looked a lot better under 4 wheels. Let me tell you. No, actually, I still love it today. So. I used to ride a lot, and then I decided one day, I should try this year-round biking thing. Let's try this. Somebody said, "Oh yeah, there's a few people here who think that's funny." So the first year I decided to get really all up in this bike thing. I was a little gregarious about the whole thing. And I'm out riding one night, and I'm real proud of myself for riding my bike home instead of riding transit and thinking, I'm only one flat tire away from getting on the bus, but that's okay. And I'm at the intersection of 7th and Morrison. You guys know where that is? Everybody knows? All right, sorry, 7th and Belmont. I'm at 7th and Belmont. I'm going east. And I'm right there at the intersection, and I lived up at 23rd and Yamhill. So I'm going straight up Belmont. And I'm thinking, you know, there's a bike lane. It's like midnight. I got this. It's all me. So I look over to my right, and here's this bus just sitting there chilling. Lights on, people on the bus. And this bus, yeah, no,
just like this one.
Just like this one right here. And we're like this. Hold on. Come over here. You're on the wrong side. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here, we'll do it this way. We'll do it this way. Oh, here, yeah, let me help you out. Okay. It was just like this, actually. It was just like this. So, no, you're good. Oh, yeah, oh, sorry. No, now you're good. So I'm right next to the bus. I'm in the bike lane, and I'm on the bike, and I'm right next to the bus. And I didn't realize the buses, you know, they have a PA, like they can talk to you out of that thing. And I'm right there, and I hear out of the bus, I hear,
"Hey, you on the bike.
This guy?
You want a race?"
So normally I'm a pretty mild-mannered guy, as you can tell. But this time, I'm not going to say I was drinking, but I said,
"I'll fucking take you."
So we stared each other down, and then this is better. He gets back on the mic and says,
"Hey, everybody on the bus, I'm going to race this guy on the bike."
I thought, holy shit, I got an audience. This is awesome. So we fucking take off. I mean, seriously, it was like a drag race. Like, that light, I swear there were like 6 red lights all of a sudden. And then, bam, go. Take off. I'm like, and by the way, I was younger and thinner than I am now. So I'm just fucking cooking. I'm like, and of course, so I get a few blocks. I'm up about, you know, the bowling alley. And he passes me. I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, I thought I was made out of diesel, but this guy. So he gets up there, and I'm like, oh, shit, he's got a stop. There's a stop between 11 and 12. This is perfect. So he pulls over across me, and I'm hauling ass. And I get up there, and right as I get past him, I hear the bus say,
"Just because I have to stop doesn't mean you're going to win."
Well, I beat him to my house, but I'm not really sure I won, because TriMet's pretty fucking awesome. So that's my story. Thanks. And thank you, number 13.
Sometimes when you're riding the bus, something happens. Somebody says something that's just clearly inappropriate. And here's a story about a bus operator who stood up to someone and made the transit environment a safer place.
Hey. My name's Eve. Any bus 9 riders out there? Anyone? Yeah, number 9? Yeah, all right, sweet. Well, I've got a couple short stories about the number 9. First, just this morning, I had a very lovely, snarky bus driver. This talkative lady gets on the bus, and she asks if there's if the number 9 stops anywhere near... I thought that was... falling over, anywhere near Union Station, and he says, "Well, we stop there every other week around 5. And she doesn't even bat an eye. She says, "Oh, okay. Well, then I'm gonna camp out here on the bus. You've got dinner, right?" And they were just like lovely, and that was just this morning. But what I really wanted to come up here and say was to thank a really awesome bus driver. I don't know her name, but this is my way of thanking her. I was out in a movie like late at night at the Academy Theater, and it was a movie that kind of scared me. It's called Martha, Marcy, Marcy May, Marlene. It was about cult and a little bit of rape, and so I was out there by myself waiting for the bus, you know, 1 a.m., and kind of just not feeling the safest. And I get to a transfer on Cesar Chavez on the 9, and I'm waiting on the bus, and this guy comes on, and he's very drunk. And the first thing he says is he just starts gay bashing everyone on the bus. And I don't really like using the F word, not fuck, I'm fine with fuck, but the other F word. And he just starts talking about it, and this bus driver, without, you know, saying any, like, doesn't even let him get on. She just says, "I do not allow gay bashing. Get off." And, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, he yells a little bit more, and she just says, "No, you need to get off." And I felt so good, because not only was I feeling unsafe, but she had just made this bus a safe place. So I just want to thank her.
Since it was an open mic night, I figured I should probably share some kind of story about my experiences on the bus. So I decided to talk about the time that I most naturally take the bus, which is when it is inclement weather outside.
Hi, my name is Brock, and I live way out in Lentz, which is a long ways off the map for a lot of people. Anybody who lives on the west side and anybody who lives in Gresham can sympathize. Anybody else here from Lentz or Brentwood, Darlington, or no? Okay. So I take the MAX down to Rose Quarter every morning to boost my bicycle commute into work. I live at 92nd and Flavel, give or take, and I work up on Marine Drive around 6th Avenue. So it's about 14 miles from home. When it's sunny, it's awesome. It's a great commute, a lot of time to think. When I come back in the afternoon, there's plenty of time to see town and you know, observe the culture flowing around me. When it's the middle of winter and the sun doesn't come up until like 7 in the morning, before daylight savings time turns over, it's no fun at all. So I usually take the MAX. This one morning, it's snowing. I think it was a couple months ago, like January-ish, sometime whenever it snowed before. And so I say, I'm going to leave the bike at home and just take the bus in because I don't want to deal with slipping. I don't want to worry about black ice. So I take the 72, which runs from Clackamas Town Center all the way up to Swan Island. And I can transfer from the 72 to the 15 to get me all the way to where my school bus is parked. I work for the school district and I drive kids around. So what happens this morning is that I leave the house precisely 10 minutes before the bus is scheduled to arrive. And as I'm walking down Flavel Street towards 82nd Avenue, I see the 72 go whoosh, right past. It's one of those snow days where TriMet is chained up and so it's rolling at 20 miles an hour or less, but it just kind of rumbles away. And I'm like, maybe I can catch this. So I start sprinting down 82nd Avenue, northbound, following the line 72 up towards Duke Street. But even a chain bus at 20 miles an hour is faster than I can run. And the light cycle was not in my favor, and so it just trundles off, leaves me behind. The next bus comes not like 10 minutes later, like it's usually scheduled, but about 35 minutes later. So we're all standing there at Duke Street and 82nd, kind of looking at our watches. People are consulting their smartphones. I'm a guy without a phone by choice because I like the slower lifestyle. But that's a time at which you kind of wish you could call your employer and tell them that you're going to be late for work. So I get on the bus. I'm already a half hour behind on my commute, and we're trundling along at 20 miles an hour with chains on the bus. And I figure I've got a call. I got to let them know that I'm going to be a little bit late. And so we stop at Gleason, and there is a Burgerville there. I do have an iPhone. It's not hooked up to a cell phone plan. So we're sitting at the Burgerville, and I'm like, maybe I can catch the wireless network and Skype to my employer and tell them I'm going to be late. So I connect to the Burgerville Wi-Fi, you know, and it's just like, chink, there it is. So I open Skype, and I'm dialing work, and it's kind of like, and they can't understand me, I can't understand them, and the bus leaves, and I'm out of signal again. So, there's this big guy sitting next to me. He's like 300 pounds. And I'm not scared of people, but sometimes people are just intimidating. And I'm thinking, maybe this guy has a phone, but he's kind of scary. So I turn to him, and I'm just like, could I borrow your phone? And he's like, sure, here you go. And he just passes it right off to me. So I call work and let him know I'm going to be late. I get all the way up to Alberta and 15th, and that's the point at which you transfer to the Line 8 going northbound up towards Marine Drive. And the famous Jubitz truck stop. So as I'm getting off, literally as I'm getting off the 72, it arrives at the precise moment for the number 8 to roll away without me. And this time I say, I am not fucking being this late for work. I'm not going to miss the bus again. So I light off, and I chase it down 15th Avenue. And I'm running as hard as I can. I'm seeing the bus up there impossibly far ahead of me. And it's sitting at a red light at Killingsworth, and I'm saying, can I make it? I have no idea, and I'm panting. I'm out of shape. It's winter. I don't exercise outside of bicycle riding. I'm a fat ass. And so I'm just running as fast as I can, thinking this is hopeless. I'm going to be tired and late and probably maybe even I'll lose my job. Who knows? But as I run, the red light miraculously stays red. And the bus sits there. And so I run harder and faster. And I finally get up, exhausted and panting. And I look at the bus driver through the doors of the bus. And he kind of looks over at me, nonplussed. And swings the door open. And I got to work.
Brock ran from Jubitz to 15th and Killingsworth. This guy's a fucking superhero, man. Talking about how fat he is. Fuck you, Brock. Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Doug. So after that, we got to hear from a actual TriMet bus driver. His name was Brendan, and he happened to drive during the snowpocalypse of 2008.
My name is Brendan. I'm a TriMet bus driver, and I would have opened the door for you. There's been a lot of nice things said about drivers, and I wanted to say a little story about what's great about the passengers. Right now I'm driving the 8 and the 94, and but before I drove the 6 and the the 6 and the 35, and despite people always warned, said, "Oh, the 6, it's a horrible route. It's, you know, the passengers are awful." And I've also driven the 72, and it's commonly referred to as the Jerry Springer bus. But both buses have been fine, and I've had any major issues, except during training. The guy who was training me was driving the 72, and this guy was giving him a hard time and wouldn't get off the bus, so he just started closing the door on the guy repeatedly. And that didn't really calm him down at all. It just sort of made him more upset, but he did eventually get off. Anyway, the story I wanted to tell was I was driving the 35, and it was right after that snow a few months ago, and TriMet gets a little freaked out when it snows and puts chains on every bus. And they didn't have chains on this bus, though, because it had the automatic chains. But I get out there in the on McAdam near Selwood Bridge, and there's a tree down across the entire road. So I have to turn around and call dispatch, say the road's blocked, and start going back. And I figure I'm just going to let everyone off at Lake Oswego. And then as soon as I get to Lake Oswego, they say, "Oh, we have a reroute for you. We're just go up and around this block. I'm going around this other way." And so I'd already gotten to Lake Oswego, so I have to turn around, and they end up going down a street I shouldn't have gone down, and then have to go around this roundabout that the bus doesn't really fit around. So I have to back up 3 or 4 times, have to go around this truck that's blocking the way, and then eventually get back to the reroute. Stopped deadlocked with traffic the whole way. So a trip that should take about 10, 20 minutes ends up taking 2 hours from Lake Oswego to downtown. Not one complaint from one passenger. And at the end, everyone thanked me and said, "Thanks for your patience. Thanks for my patience." So thanks for guys being awesome passengers. I appreciate it.
So we had a story earlier about a bus versus bike race. Here's a story in which the bicycle won and the bus lost.
Hey everyone, my name is Evan, and I've got a few stories because I ride TriMet. Awesome. Anyways, I ride the bus and then Max over to the west side pretty much every day, and so I've seen a few interesting things. Most recently, I was waiting for the Max over at Goose Hollow. And there's kind of sketchy guy walking around. He had a cowboy like kind of jacket, all these, you know, flares coming off the side. And it was raining outside, and he was just going around singing in the rain, singing in the rain. And he was like kind of creeping out people because they're kind of moving from one side of the platform over the next. And then eventually he saw Max come on the other side, just ran across and got on that one. Anyways, that's the latest. One interesting story, I don't know, I'm going to use this bus as a prop here. I was on one of the buses going from downtown up to Goose Hollow, and I was just riding along. Usually I'm reading a book or something. And then It's trying to pull out of the stop over at 12th and Jefferson. And this bus stop is right on the right side of a bike lane, and it's otherwise a right turn only. So the bus has to merge across the bike lane and get into the traffic. Yeah. So, right here, bus is in the bus stop, and the bus is about to go, and he needs to merge over to the left, and then, whoa! It stops. So, I'm like, whoa, what happened? So, what did happen was, there is a bike ride over here. Oh no, this is what happened. The biker was going, and then the bus tried to go, and then boom! And the bus missed the light. It turned red right after that. So, that was pretty amazing. Yep, bus lost, bike won.
Speaking of bicycles on public transit, sometimes you see something that's just plain innovative, and that's what this nameless story sharer said.
Okay, so I don't understand how I could possibly forget about this, but I remembered what I was going to say earlier. Yay! Okay, so who's taking a bike on the MAX? Anybody, anybody? Anybody? Yes? Okay. So I love it how every time you take a bike on the MAX, it's always like, my bike is sexier than your bike with the other bikers on the MAX. It always is, because you get your bike up there and it's hung up on that hook, and it's got all its stuff, and it's got all its accessories and its gear and its little like bells and whistles and little cool things that you put on your bike and your stickers and all your like bike propaganda and all the stuff that you have on your bike, whether you're the bike propaganda person or you're like the really cool, sexy mountain bike or like tricked out road bike or like high-end carbon bike with all the like cool features and stuff. It's always my bike is sexier than your bike. And you can tell when someone is sizing up your bike and like checking it out and looking at it and you're like, excuse me? That's my bike. I don't know. I'm just saying. So, like, sometimes there's been those moments when you're just like, you're totally sizing up my bike. And you can tell. Anyway, I'm just saying. What do you want to say, Bus?
Bus is
going to
talk. My bike is totally sexier than your bike. I got to take a piss. Sorry.
Whoa. All I'm saying is you haven't seen my Nishiki, but that's just me. Anyway, so I love that. And I love the cool things that people, like, put on their bikes. And one time, okay, the best gear, the best accessory I've ever seen for a bicycle on the MAX is this one guy got on, and it always happens like this when you're coming in from the west side. Both of the bike hooks are taken, and you've, like, watched the whole, like, MAX, like, fill up, and you're trying to time it, and you're like, okay, that one's full, that one's full, that one's full. Oh, fuck, they're all full. I just have to get on and stand with my bike. Shit. So it happens, you know? Like, the West Side bikers, this is what we got to deal with. And so, like, you get on, and you're just like, doo-doo-doo. But this one guy, this one time, I was lucky enough that I got on, and I already had a hook. And he gets on at sunset, and he's just, like, doing his thing, and all of the, like, bike hooks have been taken, and he pulls this really cool thing out of his pocket. It's this, like, custom bike hook, and he, like, sticks it up on, like, that pole where they have the, like, bike hook, and he just sticks it up there, and he, like, grabs his bike, and he's like, boom. Oh, yeah, I just hung up my bike, even though you thought all the hooks were taken. And I was like, you motherfucker, I want one. Where the hell did you get that? I want one right now. And I was just like, in my mind, of course. And I was like, that's kind of cool. And so then we get in this conversation about, like, the bike hook. And, okay, it was like, my friend made it, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, you should totally make more of those and sell them at Bikecraft. It would be awesome. Anyway, this is turning into way bike focused humor, and you'd probably have to know me in order for this to be funny. But, yeah, so bikes on the max. It's always whose bike is sexier than the other person's bike, and I'm just saying. Anyway, thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on down tonight to Humanity on Wheels. I want to thank Dave for getting this all together. I want to thank Drunken Melissa, the intern, also known as the number 13 Gresham, for her haphazard ways. And, of course, I want to thank Terry of the Jack London Bar for allowing us to come down here with this tomfoolery. And all of our speakers and open micers tonight. Thanks, everybody. It was a great night. Thank you.
Indeed. Humanity on Wheels was not an event to be missed. Hopefully, we're hoping orhistory.com and the TriMetDiaries.com website will host another storytelling event like this someday. So please make sure if you are following them on the internet that you let them know that you enjoyed this and that you would like to see another one. Matter of fact, come out and share your own transit stories. So, hey, that's the end for now, and I will see you all very soon. Thanks again for listening to the Sprocket Podcast. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Sprocket Podcast. You can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send us feedback about the program. Send us your suggestions for anything you'd like us to talk about, anything you'd like us to drink, or anyone you'd like us to have on the show. Our email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can call us and leave us a voicemail at 503-847-9774. We can put it on the program for you. Or you can text message us at that same number, 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. He's on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. And thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder there at hurtbirdmusic.com. Keep listening, and we'll see you next time on the Sprocket Podcast.